So yesterday we were looking at the book of Titus, and in Titus chapter 2, towards the end of chapter 2 in verse number 14, and again, this is Paul, his letter to Titus, and he's teaching Titus. He's given instruction to Titus on how to teach, on what standards to set for those that are under him. He's instructing Titus in what words of truth, right from the Holy Spirit, to give to men, to give to women, and to give to just the entire body of believers in Jesus Christ in general. And in verse number 14 of Titus chapter 2, Paul is saying to Titus and to you and I, speaking about Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for his good works. That is such an awesome statement. If you just stop and think about exactly what Paul is saying, Paul is identifying and reminding Titus, as he reminds you and I, that Jesus gave himself. God became flesh. He gave himself for our sins. He gave himself that we would have life, that we would have eternal life and all that comes with eternal life, which means life here, which means eternal life. All of those things that are already done and established in the spiritual realm, we will have those things here in this natural world as well. So Jesus gave himself for us that he might redeem us. What's the reason he did this? He did it because of his great love for you, to redeem you and I from the lawless, from every lawless deed. You have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ if you've accepted his sacrifice on your behalf. You have been redeemed from every lawless deed. So many times we think to ourselves, well, you know, we've got to remember to repent and ask forgiveness for every failure. It's good to have a repentant heart. That's a healthy thing. But the reality is we're going to fall short and fail. We're going to sin in sometimes ways we didn't even think about or we don't remember. You don't have to account for every one of them. If you've accepted the sacrificial work of Jesus Christ, then because of his great love for us, he's redeemed us from every lawless deed. And he's purified you and I, purified us by his sacrifice, by his blood. We've been purified. We've been made righteous and pure through him and for himself. He's made us pure for himself, that we can be his people. We can be his set aside, sanctified, set aside people for him, to glorify him and to win others. We're his own special people. And as those who have been redeemed, as those who have been redeemed from every lawless deed, as those who have been purified by Jesus Christ, as those who are separated, set aside as his special people, you are, imagine that, you are his own special people. Jesus is taking ownership of you and your life. He's invested entirely into you and your life. And he's made you his own special people. If you've accepted Jesus Christ, you are special to him. You are his own special people who are zealous for his good works. If I realize my position, if I simply realize the truth of that verse, if I simply realize that what Jesus Christ has done for me, that he has freed me, redeemed me from every lawless deed I've ever done or will do, he's already redeemed me from that. And he has made me pure. And in that purity, why is it so important to be purified? Well, it says that we are no longer tainted by sin. But because we're no longer tainted by sin, we now have the right. We have the ability, the right in Jesus Christ, and the ability in Jesus Christ, not of our own. But we now have the right to be able to stand before the throne of glory. We now have the right to stand in his presence and receive all that he has for us, not based on anything you did. It's a right not based on your actions, but on his actions. It's just simply based on our receiving and accepting his actions on our behalf. So because you've been purified, you now once again have relationship with Father God and every good thing and every good plan that Father God has for you. You know, every single one of us, Paul says this, Isaiah says this, Jeremiah, all three say the same thing. Every one of them identifies the fact that they were set aside and separated by God with a plan from Father God before they were even born. God had a plan for their lives. God had called them. And the same thing is true for you. God has. You are special to Him. He has a plan for your life, and a plan, a good plan, not a plan to be overwhelmed and defeated by the things of life, not a plan for carrying sickness or disease, not a plan to be devastated by the trials of life and overcome, not a plan to be beat down until you just try to survive through this life. No, He's got a plan for your life, a plan for victory. A plan for victory that glorifies Him. A plan for your life that brings glory to Him. A plan of victory where you walk in victory, overcoming victory in every situation. And whereas you're walking in that overcoming victory in Him as His own special people, you're glorifying Him and bringing others to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as well. You have a plan. He's got a plan for you, a plan that is in front of you. A plan that lies ahead of you. And if you're not realizing that right now, well, don't just dwell in today. Don't just dwell in the now. That's the mistake that we make is if things aren't going well for us right now, if I'm enduring something, and again, you've got to remember, you live in a fallen world. And so there are going to be things that come across our life that are things the enemy brings across our life because this is still a fallen world. But we have the overcoming victory in Jesus. Just because you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have the victory. But that does not preclude you from, because you still live in this flesh. We're still in this flesh. It's still a fallen world. Bad things are going to come. You have the victory over them. Our problem is when those bad things come, we dwell upon that moment that we're in, where the bad things come. We dwell. Listen, I know this from personal experience. My wife uses this word on multiple occasions in my life. Todd, you're obsessing over this. You know, we can obsess at the moment over the things that we see. But instead of dwelling upon the moment, bad things are going to come. But you know, as a believer in Jesus Christ, that He has redeemed you, that He has provided the victory for you, and He has provided your answers, your deliverance. He has promises for you, for your good, and for your victory. So even though you can't see it right now at this moment, you can still stand in faith, and you can thank Him. And you can say, thank you, Jesus, even when the storms of life appear to be, just by looking at the natural, it might even appear hopeless. But you can still say, thank you, Jesus. Now, I can either obsess on that and say that this is such a hard battle, it's a hard fight. And you know what? They are hard. There are things in life that are hard. But I can't dwell upon those hard things in my life. I can't just live in that moment. In that moment, I've got to be able to look ahead and see the victory that is established for me in Jesus Christ and start thanking Him even in the midst of this trial, even in the midst of the storm. Start thanking Him for the victory that is there. You know, when Peter was walking on the water and then all of a sudden the storm came up and he started to sink, his problem was he was looking at the moment. If he could have looked ahead, he would have seen Jesus raising him out of the water and walking him right back to the boat. But he wasn't. He was only looking at the moment. And when Peter was looking only at the moment and the trial and the difficulty, he wound up sinking. If you look only at the present moment, it's a fallen world. Bad things are going to come. If you look only at the present moment, guess what? You're going to sink just like Peter did. Peter needed to look ahead. If he would have looked ahead just 45 seconds or a minute ahead, he'd have seen himself walking on the water, being led by the hand of Jesus Christ, doing the supernatural, and going right back to the boat. How many times in my life, when bad things come and I'm starting to sink, I look only at my present situation. I'm not looking ahead. I'm only looking at the problem, which is temporary. Instead, look ahead and see the deliverance that Jesus has for us, and you can start thanking Him in the midst of that process. And if you want a fast way, if you're going through a hard time in life, if you're going through a struggle in life, we all want to see that struggle come to an end as fast as we can. We want to see the promises of Jesus Christ. We want to see the evidence of His deliverances as fast as we can. If you're going through something, you don't want to have to fight through it for 6 or 8 months until you see the deliverance. You want to see it today, right? the best way to expedite, the fastest way to bring those promises and those deliverances that Jesus has, to bring those things from the spiritual realm where they're reality, from that spiritual realm reality that you cannot see because we're in this flesh, the quickest way to bring those promises from the spiritual realm reality into this natural reality is with speaking words of faith and a heart that is praising Him. So if you're speaking words of faith, what you're doing is you're looking ahead. You're not obsessing on the moment, but you're looking ahead towards the future where you can see the deliverance. You can see what has not yet transpired in the natural. You're looking ahead. You're seeing the triumph and the promises that Jesus has for you. And in that hope, you're able to speak words of faith. And as you speak words of faith, you are releasing those things from the spiritual realm and you are ushering them in to this natural realm. You speak words of faith and you praise Him and thank Him for those things that you've not yet seen. And in that act of praising Him, which is a part of faith, and in your act of speaking words of faith, you usher those promises from the spiritual realm into your natural realm. And the sooner I start doing that, the sooner I'm going to bring those things from the spiritual realm to the natural realm. Bad things come in our lives. What do we do when those bad things come? And then here's the last point from verse number 14. Realizing that we are His own special people, you are dear and precious. You are special to Jesus. He's done all these things for you. Purify for Himself. He has purified, He has redeemed you and purified you for Himself. He takes personal care and interest in you. It is a personal relationship that He has with you. He's made you His own special people. Now here's the natural result of realizing all those things. If I fully realize and appreciate what Jesus has done for me, that He's redeemed me from every lawless deed, that He has purified me so that I have a relationship with the Father once again through Jesus Christ, and I have access to every promise and every good thing, and I can lay hold of it, and I have been made His own special people. I am special to Jesus Christ. If I realize that, then the end result, the cause and effect, end result of that realization is a people zealous for good works. If you read that in the Amplified Bible, it says eager and enthusiastic about living a life that is good and filled with beneficial deeds. If I realize the truth of all of these phrases and statements that precede this last phrase in Titus chapter 2, verse number 14, if I realize the truth that Jesus gave Himself for me, that He redeemed me from every lawless deed, purified me so that I am in right relationship with Father God and have the right in Jesus Christ to be able to, as joint heirs with Him, lay hold of every promise in me, that I am special to Him. If I realize all of those truths, all of those statements, if I realize the truth of those things, then the next thing's going to be evident. I become zealous, eager, enthusiastic about living my life not for self, not for the things that I desire, but I become enthusiastic, eager, zealous about living my life for His good and filled with beneficial deeds, good works, things that represent Jesus Christ to those around me. If I am today, if I am not driven with a zeal and a passion to do good for others, if I don't have the heart to reach out and share the truth of Jesus Christ, the hope of Jesus Christ, if I don't have the passion today to look for the opportunities when I can strengthen and encourage someone else in the Jesus Christ that I know and that dwells in me, then I'm probably not really living today. Doesn't mean it's not true to me. It just means I'm not living today. It means I'm probably living in the moment of today instead of walking in the realization, the full cognizant realization today that Jesus gave Himself fully to me. Now, I know it's true, but if I'm not passionately zealous for having my life live to His glory today, then I'm probably not fully giving my thoughts over. I'm thinking about the world and the things of the world instead of fully realizing Jesus Christ gave himself for me. He redeemed me from every lawless deed. He purified me that I have right relationship with Father God, and now I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And as a joint heir, I have received every deliverance and every promise, everything that's in the Word of God, and every good thing, every freedom, deliverance that Jesus has provided for me. That I am special to Jesus Christ. If I realize that today, I'm going to be looking for the opportunities, excited for the opportunity. I'm not concerned about the things I see in my life. Instead, I am focused on Jesus Christ and how I can serve him today, looking for those opportunities. That is Titus chapter 2, verse number 14. It is a powerful verse. Read that today. Just find some time. Read that today and let the Holy Spirit speak to you about Titus 2:14.